Isaiah chapter 43, verse 2, the Lord says this, "When you pass through the waters, I will be with you, and through the rivers they will not overflow you. When you walk through the fire, you will not be scorched, nor will the flame burn you, for I am the Lord your God, the Holy One of Israel, your Savior." Well, good morning and welcome to Real Truth for Today. I'm your host, Pastor Jeff Shreve, the pastor of First Baptist Church in Texarkana, Texas. And today we have two special guests in the studio, Kirk and Patty Kyle. They are members of First Baptist Texarkana, and they have a great testimony to share. You know, we talk about two words on this program a lot, shine and share. I'm in fact wearing a t-shirt that has those two words, shine and share. Shine for Christ and share what great things the Lord has done for you and how he has had mercy on you. And so Kirk and Patty have a testimony to share today, one that says that the Lord was with them through the difficulties, through the struggles, through the hard times. Married for 21 years and get the news that you have cancer. And so Kirk and Patty, welcome to the program today.
Thank you for having us. We're excited to be here.
Absolutely.
Okay, so you guys met your freshman year in college. Is that what you said?
Uh-huh.
Yeah. Or her freshman year in college?
Yeah, I was sophomore.
Okay. Was it love at first sight?
Absolutely it was.
Certainly. Absolutely.
All right, both Christians at that time?
Yes.
Yes. Well, I was a new Christian.
Brand new Christian. When did you become a Christian, Patty?
Well, I grew up Catholic, and so I really didn't, my experience, I really didn't know the Lord. I was in a home that, you know, didn't really honor God. Friend invited me to church, to a Baptist church, and I heard the salvation message, and I thought, wow, you can have a relationship with Christ. And so right about the time I met him, I had just gotten saved and started going to the Baptist church.
Okay. Very good. Now, Kirk, you had known the Lord for a while?
Yeah, well, I can tell you, September of 1982.
Is that right?
Was when I accepted Christ, I was 16 years old, and I grew up in the church, and parents always had me there at church. They're very spiritual. We were there, but anyhow, I was always hearing the message and always hearing the message and always being tapped on that shoulder and finally realized this is the direction I need to go. So it was September 1982, so that was 16. Here, I think, when we met, I was 20.
Is that right?
Yeah.
Okay, so you guys dated for how long, Patty?
6 years. Six years.
6 years. You were a little slow on the draw or what?
Hey, you know, Jeff, this is a lifelong deal.
Okay, that's right.
Make the right call.
Yeah.
This is a one-time show.
Very good. Were you getting frustrated, Patty?
Oh, heck yeah, I was.
Yeah.
You better marry me or I'm leaving.
Almost got that way.
So you get married. You have three kids.
Yes.
Life is good.
Yes.
You move from Paris, Texas
yes.
to Texarkana, Texas
yes.
in 2012.
Yes.
2012.
Uh-huh. Okay. Yeah. And then you just go for a routine mammogram?
Yes. Well, I had felt a little lump, and I was just too busy to mess with it, to be quite honest with you. We had lived in Paris. We were moving to Texarkana, and we had a lot of changes coming up, so I thought when I get my life in order, I'll go get it checked out. And so we moved to Texarkana in August, and our kids started going to public school for the first time. They'd been going to private school. We were trying to find a new church. We lived in Paris our whole lives, you know, and so we had a lot of changes.
Paris, Texas.
Yes. So, you know, I thought, well, when everything gets in order, you know, I was starting a new job, and I was working, I'm a speech pathologist, so I was working in home health and doing all these things. And so after about a month, I went and got it checked out, and we got the news that that I had breast cancer.
And what stage did they tell you you had?
Stage 3. It was pretty big. Yeah.
All right. So how do you process that information?
Well, the first thing that came to mind was the verse in 2 Timothy that says that we aren't to live by fear at all. Mm-hmm. And so we knew that God didn't give us a spirit of fear, but of power, love, and of a sound mind.
Right.
And so the first thing is, you're so scared.
Right.
You know, what do you do? And you have to take control of that. You have to say, okay, Lord, you haven't given me a spirit of fear. We need to get organized, and we need to fight it, and we need to get over it. So that's where we started.
Okay, so how old were you when you got the diagnosis?
45. I'm 55 now.
Yeah,
45. Yeah.
45.
Yeah.
Okay, and so, Kirk, then you see, hey, my wife's going to have to go through, they told you, surgery and chemo and all that, right?
Well, at that time when we first found out, it was just, you know, punch in the gut. Mm-hmm. I mean, I'm sitting there kind of going, whoa, this right. doesn't happen. You know, right. we were already seen the doctor, and so, wait a minute, we got to find out. We fit this lump in her breast and such and things like that. Anyway, they had to go get some piece of it to find out.
Right.
And he was benign, malignant. And we were sitting there, I think it was on Friday, was it not? And we had to go back on Monday.
Yeah.
I think. And, you know, you're sitting there kind of going, you know, walking on eggs over
right.
the weekend.
Right.
Let's just be honest. And you're a little concerned. You kind of go, nah, you know, not us, yeah. you know.
It's going to be benign.
You know, it's going to be benign. It's not anything to worry about, you know. And then, boy, he walks in and he walked in and he said, it's cancer. Mm. And, I mean, it was just pow. And you just kind of went, yeah. take your breath away. I was sitting there going, what?
Yeah. And you felt fine, right?
Yeah.
Yes, I felt fine. Like, I just thought, I don't know if I can say that. I mean, I just thought it was like a dried up milk dud or something, you right. know? I just thought, I'm getting old, and this is what happens when you get old, and, right. you know, you get all dried up, and it was not a dried up milk duct yeah. or whatever. No, it wasn't. It was cancer.
So, yeah. So when you get diagnosed with that, and they come back and they say, yes, it is indeed cancer, then are they jumping on it real quick for the surgery?
Yeah,
how much
we
preparation
did.
Time do they give you?
Yeah, so we got the diagnosis. 2 or 3 days later, we contacted Baylor, and so they started scheduling the bilateral mastectomy and a sentinel lymph node surgery, and you have to get all that done before you start chemo. And so, yeah, we had those scheduled really quickly. And
it was a very aggressive type cancer. Mm-hmm. I mean, I'm trying to go back 10 years ago, but it's very aggressive, so it grows fast, and right. here we go. And it was in your right breast.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
yeah. And so it turned fast and quick, it seemed like. You know, you're sitting here going, wow, we just moved to a new place.
Right.
We have some family here, the McCullums, and they go to church here as well. Mm-hmm. And so, you know, we're kind of going, okay, her brother's here also. But anyway, it just was so hard to swallow.
Right.
Because everything was going, it seemed like so fast to me. Because, I mean, I'm trying to start a new job.
Yeah.
She was fixing to start a new job. That's why we came down here, because the job that I was taking over and changing to. And then this slaps us in the face. You know, we bought a pretty big house, and I was kind of going, okay.
How really? Are you going to pay for all
well,
this?
Yeah. Wait a minute. Them yeah. things are going to change, because she's not fixing to work.
Right.
Yeah. You know, and I'm sitting here thinking, I don't know what I'm going to do.
Well, and two, you know, why would the Lord move us
sure.
to Texarkana away from everything we had known our whole life, all of our contacts, all of our friends, all mm-hmm. of, you know,
parents,
family and everything? Why are we here? Why did this happen like this? And lo and behold, in God's sovereignty, it was to show us his goodness and his provision, that he's got it. You know, we have family and we have friends, but at the bottom line is we just need him. And he provides everything we need. And if we would have been in Paris, we wouldn't have experienced the blessings and the grace that we did while we were here.
Mm-hmm.
So it was beautiful. It was absolutely beautiful.
Well, you guys immediately upon moving here, uh-huh. you got involved at First Baptist Texarkana.
Uh-huh. uh-huh.
Okay, and so that's important for people to know, hey,
yes.
that you need to have a church family, because you don't know what's coming
right.
down the pike.
Get plugged in, yeah. Uh-huh.
And so tell us about that, where you said you went to a Sunday school
right.
class, you didn't think anybody knew you.
Right. So we started coming to this church, and for those of you who don't know, this is a pretty big church. It's wonderful. But the Sunday school that we started going to had more people than the entire church that we attended in Paris. So we were just kind of overwhelmed with the Sunday school class. It was big, but we loved it, and we loved the worship, and we'd been coming here about a month. And so when I was diagnosed, I mean, we hadn't even joined the church yet. So when I was diagnosed, I went to the Susan G. Coleman place. I said, I just need some help. And there was a lady on the board there that knew the Sunday school teacher, Larry Sims. Mm-hmm. And so she called Larry. And so I was at home trying to process what we're going to do, how we're going to do it. And Larry comes knocking on our door. And he says, Patty. And I was like, I didn't even know you knew my name. Like, oh my goodness. And he said, you're not going to be alone in this. We're going to be with you. Mm-hmm. So it was such a comforting, like, wow. And then the way that the Sunday school, just our Sunday school, loved on us and took care of us. It was just incredible. And I think that was one of the reasons that the Lord brought us here is to show us, look what I can do. Mm. You know, look, you had nothing to do with this. You didn't know these people. Look what I can do. I mean, God's such a show off sometimes. You know what I mean? He really is, and I just love it.
Well, it's such a powerful reminder that we need to be together, assembled together with the body of Christ, because in good times and in hard times, we have people there to rejoice with us or to weep with us and to help us, because you guys, you weren't able to do that by yourself.
Right. Not at all.
So just a good encouragement for everyone listening. Hey, church is important.
Yeah.
You know, when we had the lockdowns and all, what's essential? Church is essential.
Exactly.
We need the Lord. Okay, so you have your surgery.
Right.
And the surgery, and correct me if I'm wrong, the surgery is relatively mild compared to the treatment, the chemo treatments, and all that you have to experience with that.
Right. Well, I'm just going to say that no surgery's easy.
Right.
It was tough. I mean, you've got drains coming out. You've got bandages. You're hurting. You have recovery. And then you start chemo, and chemo was awful, of course. It's everything you imagine plus. It's just awful. So, and yes.
How many weeks of chemo for you?
We did every 3 weeks for...
4 months.
4 months.
Four months.
And it was just, it really did a number on me, yeah.
It was brutal. It was the worst thing I've ever seen.
Yeah.
I mean, you know, she's phenomenal how she carried herself and how she acted. You know, people always say, how are you doing this? Because you're cheerful.
Right.
You know, you got it all going for you, it seems like. And the neatest thing was, Jeff, is she was that way at home, mm-hmm. behind closed doors.
Yeah.
It didn't change. She'd go to a pity party at times. And, you know, and it was very short-lived. She sat there and said, I'm not going there. Absolutely not. My God's bigger than this. And he certainly was. And it was just the most amazing thing to watch her, because I struggled.
Sure.
I struggled. Well, she kept me up. That was amazing. You know.
Well, I think the most important thing is that we have a choice always. Mm-hmm. And we get to choose what we think about. We get to choose what we concentrate on. And we get to choose what we say and how we feel. And so when you're feeling horrible, you don't get to choose how you feel because you feel horrible, but you get to choose what you concentrate on. And so when you're concentrating on the Lord, something other than yourself, when you take your mind off yourself and how you feel, mm-hmm. then that's how you get through it. Because if you concentrate on how you feel, well, the honesty is you feel horrible.
Right.
You feel awful. You feel like, why is this happening to me? All these kind of things. And that's not what you need to concentrate on, because that's where the devil will take you, and he'll take you down a very, very scary road. So you get to say, nope, I'm going to concentrate on the Lord. I'm going to concentrate on his blessings. I'm going to thank him for, and even when you're tired and you can't, okay, thanks for the sheets that I get to sleep in. Thanks for my bed. Thank you for my husband. Thank you for my dog. Mm-hmm. I mean, you can just, when you're feeling so horrible, you get to just voice out blessings and what you're thankful for and get your mind totally off that, and it changes your whole mindset.
Yeah. So in those weeks of chemo, was there any reprieve, like after 2 weeks of the treatment, then you had a week where you didn't feel
as bad? Yes, that's exactly how it went. So the day before treatment was the hardest because you know what's coming up. Mm-hmm. And then you go to treatment. We drove to Dallas for treatment. And so we drive to Dallas, sit in the chair for 8 hours while all the chemo's going in. And then we'd drive back, and I would have 2 weeks of horrid, just horrible. And then I have about a week where I start to feel better. And right on that last day when you feel like, okay, I'm okay, you know you have to go do it again. And it was just it's a mind game, really, because you get to where you know what's coming up, you know how you're going to feel, you know it's awful, and then you got to turn around and do it again.
Mm. We're talking to Kirk and Patty Kyle about their journey through cancer and how God allowed this to come into their lives because he wanted to use it as a testimony. And she has been faithful, and Kirk has been faithful to share that with people and to tell them there is hope in the Lord Jesus Christ. God is the God of hope. Listen, if you are here today tuning in and you're facing a dark, dark valley, know that the Lord has promised, when you pass through the waters, I will be with you. I will never leave you nor forsake you. You're listening to Real Truth for Today, and I'm your host, Pastor Jeff Shreve, and we're talking to Kirk and Patty Kyle about God's goodness and God's grace, even in the midst of a storm, because he will bring us through. So don't go away.
Did you know the abortion pill accounts for over 50% of all abortions? Preborn Ministry continues to stand with women in crisis in their darkest hour and bring hope and life. After Marissa took the abortion pill, she immediately regretted it, but Preborn was there for her.
Look at that baby. Look how beautiful he is. Look at that. Abortion pill reversal actually works. Let's hear his heartbeat. Oh, look how strong it is. Oh, praise God.
By God's amazing grace, this baby was saved, but many more need our help. To learn how you can be a part of rescuing babies' lives and sharing the heart of Jesus, go to preborn.com. That's preborn.com, or dial #250 and say the keyword baby. That's #250 and say baby.
What would you do?
Aunt Sadie, I appreciate your thought behind the gift card, but I just can't take it. I promise not to shop at Target because they allow men in areas that need to be private and protected for women and children. I hope you'll go to afa.net/target and learn about it. I'm not giving them my money.
Aunt Sadie didn't know about AFA's call to boycott Target, but she knows now, and so do you. Learn even more at afa.net/target. afa.net/target.
Can we trust the Bible?
He says, we saw this. And that sets the Bible apart from almost everything else in the ancient world and its religious pantheon of gods and goddesses.
The God Who Speaks, the important documentary from the American Family Association, is now available to watch for free on AFA's brand new streaming platform. Go to thegodwhospeaks.org to watch this award-winning film today. thegodwhospeaks.org.
Hey, this is Steve Tiber with 8 Days of Hope. Do you know over the last 2 years, Southwest Louisiana has faced multiple storms, including Hurricanes Laura, Delta, and Zeta. 8 Days of Hope sent our rapid response teams to help in these areas after Hurricane Laura hit Lake Charles and again after the flooding in 2021. Well, today we're excited to announce that our 18th rebuilding trip will take place in Lake Charles from December 3rd through December 10th. Thousands of volunteers will gather from around the country to love and serve this community by helping them repair their homes that were affected by these disasters. We're going to focus on roofing and drywall, painting, electrical work, flooring, and so much more. We can't wait to see what God is going to do. So there's a couple ways you can help with this mission. First, pray. Pray that God will speak through our actions to each family and make himself known. Second, consider volunteering. It's free, and we provide the food and the lodging. Hey, go to our website, 8daysofhope.com, read the FAQs, and you can volunteer right there. Again, that's 8daysofhope.com.
Welcome back to Real Truth for Today. Pastor Jeff Shreve here. I'm with Kirk and Patty Kyle, and we're talking about what God has done in their life. As 10 years ago, Patty was diagnosed with stage 3 breast cancer and had to go through surgery and then through 8 weeks of chemo. 12 weeks, 8 weeks?
How many, Kirk?
You went through 4 months, so 16.
16 weeks.
12, yeah, 16.
16 weeks.
The whole ordeal was like 54 weeks long.
Wow. I try to forget it.
Yeah. 54 weeks.
54 weeks.
You
set up a plan. We went through
the first time. Then I went through chemo again with the leukemia and lymphoma.
That's right.
Yeah.
Okay. So, Patty, tell us how, you know, I think a lot of people are afraid of health related issues, especially the big C, because they know, okay, that's surgery, that's chemo. Everybody gets nervous about chemo because of all the horror stories. Losing your hair. Let's talk about that.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, for a woman, that is huge.
Right, right.
And beautiful hair. You have beautiful hair now.
Oh, you're so sweet. Yeah. Well, I will tell you that you not only lose your hair and your eyebrows and your eyelashes, but for me, because of all the stuff they give you before the chemo, I also got very bloated. And then because of the chemo, my skin turned kind of white and pasty. And I remember one morning looking in the mirror and just thinking, who is this person? Mm-hmm. You know, I am bald, I'm ugly, I'm fat, I'm just pasty. And I just start to cry. And the Lord just speaks to my heart and he said, I made you. Mm-hmm. I love you. Mm-hmm. It's not about your hair. It's not about your pastiness. It's not about your weight. I love your heart and I love you. And the Lord just speaks to you in those times when you feel like you're just down and distraught. He's always right there. It is so hard for a woman. Like, I didn't want to go out. You know, on top of the fact, I don't mean to be gross, but on top of the fact that you have diarrhea the whole time because you're so sick, the chemo's right. just running right through you. Mm-hmm. So not only do you look ugly, you feel ugly because your body's doing mm-hmm. some pretty yucky stuff. Mm-hmm. And then here comes the Lord that says, listen, I love your heart. Mm-hmm. This is going to change. This is temporary. But you know what? I love you. Mm. I made you. And you're going to get through it.
So I would imagine you're having to remind yourself of those truths constantly.
Yes, yes, yes.
And walk by faith and not by feelings.
Right.
Feelings are
change.
Not.
That's right, yeah.
Lining up with the truth of
right.
Scripture.
And I, you know, in those times too, I'm thinking, he calls me the apple of his eye. That doesn't mean that I'm externally beautiful. That doesn't mean, he says, I'm the apple of his eye, and he says, my name is written on the palm of my hand. You know, your name is there. And so you think about all of those truths and you keep thinking, I'm the daughter of the Most High King. Mm. And that makes you, that just gives you so much when you're going through a time like that, just staying in his word, repeating his truth over and over and over again. One of the most important things, I remember talking to you and you said, Patty, remember that you walk through the valley. You don't stay there. Mm-hmm. You know, you get to sit by the still water, but you walk through a valley. You keep going. Mm-hmm. And that meant a lot to me because I thought, I'm not going to be here forever. This is not going to take forever. I'm going to walk through it. And then on the other side, I get to lay down.
I think that's really important for people to remember, because when you're in the midst of a storm,
yes. mm-hmm.
you can't see the sunshine. I mean,
right.
it's just like, this is never going to end.
Right.
This is my life. You know, I was this really beautiful, small, healthy, young mom. And now
look at me
right.
like I'm worthless. And Satan will tell you, you're worthless. You're ugly. You're needy. You can't do anything for your family. You're not taking care of your kids. You're not taking care of your husband. You are completely dependent on everyone around you. You're worthless. Just go ahead and die.
Mm.
And I remember hearing that in my head so much, and I rebuke it, mm-hmm. because that's not what my daddy says about me.
Right.
That's not it. This is only for a time. And if you, like I said before, if you let yourself dwell on those things, oh, that's the worst thing you can do.
Mm.
That's the worst you can do. And so just staying in his word. And even when you're too tired to do that, just look around and see what you can be thankful for. You know, mm-hmm. just start out loud. I'm thankful for this. I'm thankful for that. I'm mm-hmm. thankful. And just get your mind off of that, because you can't let yourself dwell on your current situation.
Well, I was thinking about, as you were just talking, two are better than one. This is from Ecclesiastes, uh-huh. because they have a good return for their labor. For if either of them falls, the one will lift up his companion. But woe to the one who falls when there is not another to lift him up. Now, I would imagine, and it's like a teeter-totter. So mm-hmm. times when you were down, she would lift you up, and vice versa.
Yeah.
Did that take place a lot?
Oh, yes.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Absolutely. So, I mean, it's painful. I mean, she's going through it, and you're with her. But, I mean, you're so helpless. Mm-hmm. What can I really do?
Right.
If people can't see, I'm rubbing her back right now. I'm patting her on the back. You know, I'm just sitting there, you know, and I can hug her and kiss her and hold her and things like that and hold her hand. But, I mean, okay, that helps. I understand. But I'm not getting done. I mean, there's not a lot happening in that regard. And, you know, that's where you struggle. I did, because I want to fix it.
You're right.
How can I fix this?
I can't fix this.
Okay. And so there's where the hope falls on Jesus.
So
always.
She's having to look up and really, you know, corral her feelings. I got to look to the Lord. How about for you? How did you ward off getting angry at God? Because your whole life has changed.
Well, you know, you do. You get frustrated. I did. I sat there and kind of wondered. I went, why?
Mm-hmm.
Sure, we all ask that question, and I'm not going to say I don't believe God gave her this. No, absolutely not. You know, I don't think that at all. I don't think that. I think this comes from the evil one, by all means. But, you know, she has it. How do I go and work this out, and how do I survive this? We give her the strength that she needs, and it's kind of a dark place at times. Here it certainly was. I mean, I didn't have a cape on. I'm going to have you look at it, you know, and I was sitting there kind of going, who do I go to? And there was no one else to go to but to Jesus.
Right.
And you dive into the Word. That's where I got it from. You know, I just went to the Word to sit there and look for the strength and realize, take those thoughts captive. Because, you know, I know this is where the evil one wants me to be, but not Jesus. Jesus says, you know, I got this. And, he, you know, and the big thing I got to realize was, you know, and I just kept going back, He's enough, no matter what. He's preeminent. He's top. Nothing above Him. Jesus, it's all about Jesus. He's enough. Mm-hmm. And that's just where I kept kind of wanting to fall. I kept falling back on.
How did your kids handle all this?
Well, I'm not sure that we did a good service to our children because we didn't fill them in on all the bad stuff, you know. So I pretty much stayed. We had a big house, and we had a big ensuite on the end of the house, and I stayed back there a lot. And so they didn't see a lot of it. I remember Luke saying at the beginning of cancer, it was so funny. He said, Mom, I hate that you have cancer, but I love all this food. And I was like, oh my goodness, you know. And
lots of people bringing
food. And, you know, my daughter had people doing things for her. Caleb had, you know, so people were loving on us. And so I think, you know, and I know this is going to sound ridiculous, but God showed up so big that I don't think they were affected too terrible because I was back in my room and they just didn't see me too much. And then all they saw, people were, you know, leaving snacks on our door and bringing food over. And they were like, hey, this is kind of cool. You know, I mean.
And your kids were a little older. So Caleb was 12. He's your youngest, right?
No. Caleb's the oldest. He's 27. So he was 17. He was 16. He graduated in 14.
Okay. Yeah. He was 17. Your youngest was 12.
Right. Yeah.
That's Luke. Yeah. And then Catherine graduated in 15. So she was they're about 18 months apart. So we're looking at pretty close. I mean, they're two in high school, one in middle school.
Right. I mean, I'm sure they were upset. Mary Catherine cried when we finally decided to shave my hair off because it was falling out so much that it was all over my clothes. And you know, you have to make a decision at what point do you just call calf rope and do it. And so Kurt cut my hair one night and that upset her. She had seen that was getting upsetting because it was all over the house and in the food and, you know, stuff. It was kind of gross. But, you know, she saw that and didn't like that. They didn't like it when I came home and I had bandages on and things like that. And as far as staying in bed and things like that, they were just like, well, Mom's not feeling good.
Right.
You know.
Yeah. Well, that would be, you know, I think it would be as hard as it was if your kids had been like 3, 5, and 7.
Right,
you know,
right.
That's really, because then you would feel like, I have to be there for them. And Kirk can only do so much, you know, working and taking care of kids and taking care of his wife. You know, couples that have to face that.
Right, that's tough.
They need strength from the Lord.
Like you said, that's where the church family came in.
That's where the body of Christ came in.
You know? I mean, the hands and feet of God through the church, our Sunday school class. We had good, deep friends that helped take her to Dallas. To dance because I couldn't get off constantly. And, I mean, people stepped up. I mean, you know, one lady told us, love shows up.
Yeah.
How
cool.
Yeah.
Okay, so you learn lessons through the hard times that you don't learn any other way.
Yes, yeah.
And so the depth of your Christianity takes on a whole
other level.
Yeah. So tell us about that. How did that change you personally?
Well, here's an example of one. You know, when you go through chemo, you're supposed to, at the very beginning, isolate yourself because your immune system is basically shot. And so you don't want to get out. You don't want to get sick. You don't want to be around sick people. So you isolate yourself. So I'm in the back room and the door is shut. And so I just read a lot and I would be in my Bible a lot. And I was reading about Jesus touching people. And I thought, you know, because I don't want to think about myself and I'm just reading. I was like, you know, I'm isolated back here, but Jesus would come back here and he would touch me. And I start thinking, you know, I wonder what he feels like. I wonder what his skin felt like. You know, he was a carpenter. Mm-hmm. Did he have calluses on his hands? And, you know, I'm sick and I have to sit down. I'm 5 feet tall. And when I hug people, I usually have to get on my tiptoes. Mm-hmm. And I'm thinking, Lord, if you came back here to touch me, would I have to stand up, like, or would you lean down? And I'm sure because you're so sweet, you would lean down, but I would want to get up and get on my tiptoes. Like, what exactly would you do? Mm-hmm. And like, what do you smell like? You know, like, I know you're back then. I know you didn't have a home, really. How many baths did you take? Like, what did you smell like? You know, I'm just talking to the Lord, trying to take my mind off of my sickness, and I'm in the Word, and he's talking about touching people. And I was like, I'm really curious, Lord. And I said, thank you for letting me talk to you and letting me wonder. And I'm really sad, Lord, because, you know, in Isaiah it says that he wasn't very handsome, so people weren't attracted to him. Mm-hmm. And that makes me so sad. Mm-hmm. Like, you came all the way down here and didn't even make yourself handsome. I mean, it's one thing to be born in a barn. It's another thing not to be very attractive. I mean, that hurts my heart a little bit. And I'm just talking to the Lord, and I'm just talking to him. And I'm like, Lord, I just really would like to have these answers. Mm-hmm. Well, we had called the church and asked the church if we did anointing. Mm-hmm. I had read in there that we anoint our head with oil. And I was like, called the church, do y'all do that? They said yes. Very next day, we come to the church, and you anoint my head with oil, which was a wonderful experience. I thought, this is the neatest thing ever. I didn't know what you were going to do, if I was going to have to duck my head in oil or what. So anyway, after we did that, you had everyone come over and lay hands on us. Uh-huh. And so everyone's hands all over us, and then people started praying. And the Lord spoke to my heart, and the Lord said, reach out and touch their hands. And I was like, Lord, I don't even know a lot of these people. Like, I know Pastor Jeff, and I know Larry, and, you know, I know Stephanie, but touch their hands. And I'm like, okay. So I reach out, and I'm touching everyone's hands. And everyone's a little different. There's a big, strong hand. Stephanie's hand has those long nails with all the rings on it. And I smell perfume and cologne. And I'm like, this is, okay, Lord, I'm doing what you asked me to. I've touched every hand. And I put my hands down, and I'm like, Lord, I can't even hear what they're praying. I'm sure they're praying these wonderful things. And the Lord speaks to my heart, and he said, Patty, that's what I feel like. Mm. This is what I smell like. And you would not have to stand up. You stay right here where you are, and I come and meet you right there. Mm. And I just thought, I mean, I just burst into tears. And I thought, Lord, you're so sweet to me that even in my quiet time, when I'm really pondering on who you are, how you feel, what you look like, you know, those times when you're just in that, you know, he reached out and touches people. What does that feel like? And then he says to me, honey, this is what I feel like. These are my hands. This is what it is. And you just go, Lord, you answer that question. And it was such a silly, you know, you would think that's a silly question, but you know what? He answered it anyway.
Yeah.
And that's where you get to when you stay in his word and you get your mind off yourself and you think about him. He would just answer anything for you because he loves you so much.
Amen. There's a name for God in the Old Testament, the book of Genesis. You are the God who sees me, El Roi. And Hagar said that.
Yes.
And when the Lord found her in the desert, pregnant Hagar, who had left the home of Abraham and Sarah. But I love that name because God does see us and he cares about us and he knows what we're going through. He's not a God who can't sympathize with our weaknesses.
Right.
He can.
Yeah.
And he knows what that's like to feel isolated and alone. You know, he was, as you quoted, you know, he's despised and rejected, a man of sorrows and acquainted with grief. And yeah, he didn't have this this kingly appearance that people would just naturally be drawn to him. He's just very ordinary looking. Just to follow up on what you said, Patty, so at our church we follow James 5. If anyone among you is suffering, he must pray. Is anyone cheerful? He is to sing praises. Is anyone among you sick? Let him call for the elders of the church, and they are to pray over him, anointing him with oil in the name of the Lord. And the prayer offered in faith will restore the one who is sick, and the Lord will raise him up, and if he has committed sins, they will be forgiven him. When we did that prayer time for you guys, you know, God obviously spoke to your heart that day, but did that change anything as far as you are still going through chemo at that time, or you are getting ready to have chemo? What was the timeline?
No, I was going through chemo at the time.
Okay.
Yeah, and...
So that was in the thick of
that was in the thick of it. But it was such a beautiful thing because I didn't even know that that existed, and I saw it when I was reading. And then here, the Lord allows us to let it happen. And I was like, Lord, you're so sweet to me.
Amen. We're talking to Kirk and Patty Kyle about their storm with cancer, as she had stage 3 breast cancer just out of the blue, a healthy woman, 3 kids, a husband, just moved to Texarkana, Texas from their home in Paris, Texas. But God used a terrible situation and he turned it for good in your lives, in your marriage, in your family, and used the family of God to come alongside of you and to really help you through that dark valley. Well, you're listening to Real Truth for Today. I'm your host, Pastor Jeff Shree. And when we come back from the break, we're going to finish this tremendous testimony of God's grace, God's power, and God's healing. Don't go away.
What does the American Family Association stand for?
We believe that our ministry, as well as everything in the heavens and on earth, belongs to God, and our role is that of a trusted manager.
These values and more are part of our mission to inform, equip, and activate individuals to strengthen the moral foundations of our culture. We also support the church. We want to be a leading organization in biblical worldview training for cultural transformation. Thank you for standing with us.
Hello, I'm Sam Rohr, president of the American Pastors Network, a growing national network of pastors committed to the authority of Scripture and preaching the whole counsel of God. We believe biblical obedience is the foundation for revival, and impacting our culture for Christ is our duty. For too long, the pulpits of America have been silent on the important issues such as marriage and family and assault on liberty. Join us in the battle for truth on Stand in the Gap weekend, Sunday evenings at 6 p.m. on American Family Radio, and visit us at AmericanPastorsNetwork.org.
The following is not an actor, but a real-life story from Trinity Debt Management.
The credit card debt happened when my daughter was born. I was using one credit card account to roll over into another credit card account, and it was snowballing.
If you're in debt and you need help, call Trinity at 1-800-788-1813.
When I first called Trinity, the representative understood the need based on the situation. They were great people to work with. From the first phone call that I made, they had me on a track to mitigate the credit card debt.
Trinity will consolidate your accounts into one easy-to-manage monthly payment, reduce your interest, and possibly improve your credit score. You'll save thousands.
Working with Trinity gave me the ability to save thousands of dollars. My name's Doug, and thanks to Trinity, I'm debt-free for keeps.
Call Trinity at 1-800-788-1813. That's 1-800-788-1813.
Does the changing of the seasons have you thinking about the future? If you're feeling like you can't contribute as you have in the past, maybe we can offer some help. There are many ways to make an end-of-the-year charitable gift. A cash donation comes with the advantage of a tax deduction. Transferring appreciated stock can allow you to avoid capital gains taxes. You could leave a gift through a will or trust by naming AFA as a beneficiary. And a charitable gift annuity provides a deduction for today as well as guaranteed income for life. Let us show you how to maximize your year-end giving for yourself and for AFA. Visit AFAFoundation.net or call 800-326-4543, extension 345. If the economy has you worried about what the future may bring, giving through the AFA Foundation could help. Again, that's AFAFoundation.net or call 800-326-4543, extension 345.
Welcome back to Real Truth for Today. Pastor Jeff Shreve here talking to Kirk and Patty Kyle. Hearing their testimony of God's hand of healing and grace. Patty was diagnosed with stage 3 breast cancer 10 years ago and went through surgeries and then chemotherapy, and the whole process we said was 54 weeks, a long, long time of sickness and walking through a storm. That's a long storm. That's not a short storm. So then you come out on the other side, mm-hmm. and feeling good,
right.
cancer-free. You get the diagnosis, hey, you're cancer-free.
Yeah.
And you are cancer-free for how long?
Well, not very long before we went to our...
It was about a year.
So we go to our very last, you know, the appointment that is like a year out, and then they tell you don't have to come again for 3 years, and we were so excited. We were so excited. We drove down there, and we were talking about where we were going to eat, you know, like we were going to hurry up and hope they get us in. And we get out, and we were going to go eat, and we had the whole day to spend together. We were so excited to get that good report and then be done and not go back for a long time. And when we went in to the office, they took a little longer, and they did the blood work, and they came in, and they're like, Patty, I think you have...
We heard right before she went to the state baseball, softball, remember?
Oh, that's right, yeah. Well, we got a call first. We got a call.
Yeah.
Your numbers are all bad.
We did not know what it was.
Yeah.
Got a bad call.
A bad report.
Sorry.
And Mary Catherine was, they were going to state championship with PG, the
PG softball team.
And I said, well, they said, come in right now. And I said, I will not. I said, we are fixing to go to Austin. We're going to go to state championship for softball with our daughter. I will see you on Monday.
Yeah.
We're
going to
have a great weekend. And so We left and...
white blood cell count was about 32,000. Normal range is about 3 to 8.
Oh, wow.
And okay. So that was...
air fighting infection.
And she wouldn't.
Yeah, but
feeling bad.
Yeah, but it was the appointment where we were excited to get a good report that they told me. Okay, so let me back up. That was the appointment. We were excited. They said, we think you have leukemia, but your numbers aren't too bad. We're going to wait and watch. And then it was the state championship.
That's totally unrelated to the breast
cancer. Totally unrelated to breast cancer.
No, it's related.
They told me.
That medicine she took gives her this.
Oh, is that right?
I can't prove that. Truly believe it. Yes.
They said it's totally unrelated. It has nothing to do with your breast cancer. Well, then later on, the next doctor that we saw said, oh, yeah, people get this all the time after they've had the breast cancer. It's the chemo. Nothing you can do about it. At least you're here, you know. That. And so one doctor says, right. No, it has nothing to do with it. The next doctor said, yeah, but you're here, so don't worry about it. It'll be fine. Mm-hmm. Well, I mean, you know, that's not much. You know,
the problem is we got it, and leukemia is kind of like luggage. I mean, not luggage, but it's there's no cure. Except divine intervention. That's it.
Okay, so what do you do for the leukemia?
We were on wait and watch for a while, and then we got the call, and that said your white blood cell count's getting pretty high. So there's a lot that goes into it, but basically I had to go through chemo again. So they put me in the hospital this time.
Not the Red Devil stuff.
Not the Red Devil stuff. Because I had such a bad reaction with the chemo before, I had a new doctor this time, and he said, we're going to put you in the hospital, and we're going to make sure that you're hydrated, we're going to make sure that we watch you, because the symptoms that I had before were so terrible. He thought I had some kind of a reaction to the chemo. So I was put in the hospital, and I stayed a week and did chemo every day for a week, went home for 2 weeks, came back, did another week of chemo, went home, and then... Yeah.
To talk about that, I'm sorry to interrupt you, honey, but this was in Arlington now. We changed doctors and went to a different guy, and she has. Anyhow, we were on that wing, and that was the cancer wing, and that was a dark place. Mm-hmm. Again, I know I've used that word several times, but it was. I mean, people were dying on that wing,
right.
And here comes Patty and set up camp there for a week, and we got her diffusers going on, and she's got this, you know, Christian music playing, and it was unreal how many people kept coming to our room.
Oh, it was so sweet. The nurses would come in my room, and they would say, this is such a place of peace, and I could tell
comfort.
Them.
They noticed that, you know, it showed, and it was, and everybody, all the nurses said, can we come in for a minute and just hang?
Yeah.
Just hung around. It was the most amazing thing in the world. They said, you could see it, and you could feel it, because you walked out that door. It was a sad place.
Yeah.
Sad place.
I made up my mind that I wouldn't have the TV on at all, that I had my Bible open. That's the only way I can really cope is just, you know, because when you don't feel well, you know, your mind goes to you. And so I would just have the Word of God open, and I would just look down, even if I didn't feel like reading it right then. It was open. It was right there. So the next time I would open my eyes, it was. And it really was just peace, just was in that room. And it was beautiful. It was really beautiful. And even the head nurse came in afterwards and said, this has just been such a joy to have you here. And it was just a beautiful thing. The Lord just worked beautifully in it.
What a testimony. I pray that a lot for people when I visit them in the hospital. I said that the Lord, you know, Lord, that you'd be here, that people would recognize there's something different about this person.
Right.
And I think, Patty, something that people lose sight of is this is your chance to be a great witness for the Lord.
Yeah.
Because anybody can praise God when everything's going great.
Sure. Yeah.
It's when it's hard.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
That's when people see, is your faith really real? Is
right.
it really making a difference? Because the light shines the brightest in the darkest situations.
Right.
And so, so you get that diagnosis, you go through that treatment, or you go through that time in the hospital.
Yeah.
And then where from there?
Well, and then you get your labs back, and they say you're within normal range. And let's just keep up some, it's called IVIG, because your immune system now has taken a hit. And so be careful when you go out, and then come every month or so, and let's get these IVI treatments just to kind of boost your immune system, give you some good mooju or whatever you've got in you. And so that's where we are. Like I am... They tell you you can't say you're cancer-free. You say there is no evidence of cancer. Because leukemia and lymphoma is in your blood, you'll always have a little bit of it. Everybody has a little bit of cancer, and it's the overactive cells that make you, you know, make your cancer bad. So I have no evidence of cancer in my body, and I'm doing fabulous.
So you don't feel sick at all?
No. In fact, I have a little cold right now, but it's... No, I don't feel sick. I feel great. Mm-hmm. I'm like everybody else. I've started back doing all the activities that I used to do, and I'm wonderful.
Yeah.
Lord's so good to me.
Amen. And you've been able to share your testimony with lots of people.
Yes. Yeah. I get calls. I get to speak at women's conferences. I did quite a bit of that. Right before COVID, I was speaking at women's conferences and sharing my story. You know, we've written a book, right. And I have a book, and we get to come on the radio station, and basically anyone who will listen to us will just tell them how great the Lord is and what he's done for Amen. Us.
Amen. So if someone wanted to get in touch with you to speak to their women's group or something like that, how would they do that?
Oh, well, how would they do that?
I guess you might share your phone number.
Well, what's your email address?
Oh, it's real easy. It's Patricia Kyle, 1991. @yahoo.com. Very easy.
Patricia Kyle, K-Y-L-E, at...
1991. You know, the year we got married.
The year you got married.
Very special year.
I was thinking
year.
That was the year you were born, but it's the year
you
got married.
Oh, aren't you sweet? Yeah. So they could just send me something. But,
that'd be nice.
It's really sweet because I don't ever promote anything, and people just will contact me, and the Lord just works all that out. So I don't have to... If the Lord wants me to do it, and he sends somebody. So yeah. It's a sweet thing.
Patricia Kyle, 1991 @yahoo.com. Mm-hmm. So what would you say to somebody that is in the midst of cancer treatments right now, and it's just dark, and they're not seeing any break to the storm?
Right.
How do you encourage them?
I would speak the truth in love and say, get a hold of yourself. Mm-hmm. Stop it. You get your mind focused on the Lord. Mm-hmm. You get your mind off of yourself and your situation.
That's it.
If you sit there and if you dwell on yourself and your situation and mm-hmm. how you feel and blah, 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 then you're gonna be in a very bad, dark place. Get a hold of yourself. Get a hold of your thoughts. Pray. Give thanks. If you're too tired, if your eyes hurt, I mean, you know, I'm serious. When you're in chemo, your eyes will bulge. At one point, we had blood coming out of every hole. I mean, it was gross.
Amazing. It's the worst thing I've ever seen.
Then just think it. Look around. If you're too tired, look around. Thank you for my bed. Thank you for my house. Thank you for my socks. Thank you for my husband. Thank you for my family. You just start thanking him. If you can't read, then you just start thanking him. But biggest thing I would say is get a hold of yourself. Mm-hmm. And I mean, that's just truth right there, because you cannot let yourself focus on you and your problems.
Amen. That's a good word.
Yeah, it's big.
Kirk, what would you say to... the caregiver, the spouse?
It's the same thing. I mean, you know, she's feeling the pain, the actual physical pain, but you're also in the emotional pain, you know. And the guys, we're not really emotional in the first place, and so you got to kind of dig deeper into your emotional side to help her. Mm-hmm. But, you know, you're helpless in that situation, you feel like, and you want to do more. You want to, like I said earlier, I want to fix it. How can I fix this? Not happening. So, you know, you got to dive back into the Word. That's all I did. That's the main thing I dove into. I got back into more into the Word, let's put it that way. And I read, because, you know, you hear things, you hear people. I mean, it was kind of amazing. People said, well, what do you think? Why did she get that cancer? What did she do to deserve that? And I kind of go, hey, back up. No. You know, like I said, God didn't give her this cancer.
Right.
This is just the way it took place. But if you go down that path, when you start, because I mean, it crossed your mind.
Sure.
I should have prayed more. I should have done this more. And I kind of go, whoa.
You know, yeah, you can't do that.
No, I can't go here. I can't go there. That's where you build up that bitterness.
How about the thought of my wife might die?
You know, I went there a couple times, but I evidently God pulled me away from that quick. I don't know why. I can just say that, because I didn't go there again. I didn't. I said, that's not going to work out.
Y'all never talked about that or like that?
No, I wouldn't let
him. We wouldn't. You know, I went, this was my own little dark place here, and I was sitting there going, okay, I got three kids. I got a special needs child. and I got this, I got that, I got this. We just moved. I mean, it wrapped around my head. I kind of said, I can't do this. I can't go there. I'm not going to go there. And prayed to God, don't let me go there. And it was amazing. And I didn't.
Yeah.
Well, I think that that goes when you walk in a position of victory as in instead of being a victim. Because I think you go to the I'm going to die part when you're a victim. Mm-hmm. But if you get a hold of yourself and you walk in victory, it gives you a whole different mindset. Not that you won't die. You very well may die. But when you're walking in victory, there's a whole different mindset to that. Mm-hmm. And you just don't let your mind go there.
Well, I love the verse 2 Timothy 4:18, where the Apostle Paul says, "The Lord will deliver me from every evil deed and bring me safely to his heavenly kingdom. To him be the glory." Well, after he wrote that, he got his head cut off.
Right.
So
right.
It's like, well, wait a minute.
Yeah.
I thought you said the Lord was going to deliver you. But he did.
He did deliver.
He took him to heaven.
That's right. Yeah.
And so, none of us knows how much time we have left.
Right.
So,
we don't.
What do you focus on, though?
Right.
Are you focusing on when you're going to get your head cut off, or are you focusing on the Lord?
There you go.
Are you focusing on when you're going to die, or are you focusing on his victories?
Right.
So, well, it's a mind thing.
I can drive home, hit a car wreck.
Right. Yeah, nobody has the promise of tomorrow.
Right.
So Jim Cimbala was on the program a couple of weeks ago, and he said, you know, all we have is today. Yesterday's gone, and tomorrow may not come.
That's right.
All we have is today. So we have to live today for the glory of God. And I would think, too, that especially when you're suffering, you can't project way down the road.
No,
because if you start thinking, this is my life for the next 5, 10, 15. I mean, nobody can live like that. So it's just like, I don't know what tomorrow is.
Right.
I just have today.
Right.
And I'm going to choose to rejoice.
Right.
Amen.
So how is your life now?
Oh, I think we're grand. We have a grandbaby now. The Lord was so sweet. We could talk another hour about my grandbaby. But we have a grandbaby. We are living life. We're just loving it. I think we're doing great.
We're just really blessed.
We're
and
normal.
We always have been.
Just normal.
Yeah.
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 Which
we're
is great.
Blessed.
Well, you guys have a great testimony, and you do. When we talk about shining for Christ, you shine. And Kirk, nobody shines like your wife.
No,
she
I
just
agree.
Has a great countenance.
She just walks in. She's just a breath of fresh air.
Yeah.
Everywhere she goes. And that's the first thing everybody notices about her. I'm blessed there, by all means.
You told me one time that God doesn't have favorites, but he has intimates.
Yes.
And so I am his intimate. He's so sweet to me, and he's so special. And everyone can be. That's their choice. So I would encourage everyone to be an intimate.
Yes. I heard that from my pastor. God doesn't have favorites, but he does have intimates. Mm-hmm. And so we have the choice. We can get close, draw near to God, and he will draw near to you.
Amen. Uh-huh.
And so that is a promise that all of us can claim, and we can do that. But it takes work on our part to spend time in the Word, to talk to the Lord. It doesn't just happen.
Right.
Mm-hmm. You know, it's kind of like marriage. A good marriage doesn't just happen. You have to do the things necessary to have that good relationship.
Sure.
Yeah.
Well, we've been talking to Kirk and Patty Kyle, and their testimony is truly one of hope and victory and God's grace. Who knows what the future holds? None of us do, but we know who holds the future.
Amen.
And so, Patty, just share again your email address if somebody wants to contact you.
PatriciaKyle1991@yahoo.com.
Amen. Well, I hope that you've been encouraged and blessed today as you've been listening to the program. This is Real Truth for Today, and I'm your host, Pastor Jeff Shreve. Hey, we always talk about shine and share. Go out today, shine for Christ, and share what great things the Lord has done for you and how he's had mercy on you, and God will use you for his glory as his witness. God bless. Have a great weekend, and I'll be with you again on Monday.
The views and opinions expressed in this broadcast may not necessarily reflect those of the American Family Association or American Family Radio.